I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Hello and welcome. I'm Father Chad Arnold, and you are listening to About 4 O'Clock, a podcast on vocations and discernment. Recording with me today is Father Garrett Burns.
What's up, fam?
Hey, why are you pushing that button? I don't have my headphones on.
You don't have your headphones
that's your
on?
Fault.
Because it's not working. I'm getting around to the sound man. Good and messing my hair.
Well, also with me is Father Drew Hoffman.
As he puts his headphones on.
I'm listening. No, that's fine. The haters are furious.
I've thrown a lot of shade at you these last three, this recording session. I don't know.
It's okay. I'm willing to stand by the cross and take the blame.
You are a noble soul, as I've always said.
Interesting.
I would like to point out that we are on like episode 32, and I have resisted this long from using any of
that's
the special effects until now. So that's been
a
source of I've wanted to play with them. So it's willpower that I've not done that. Well, we are coming to you today from the St. Dominic studio. Mm. Any guesses why?
I truly have no clue.
So this one I actually looked up. This will come out on his feast day. So this was actually planned for that.
After the debacle that was July 4th.
You mean splendorous miracle that it was.
The Lord is working.
The Lord works through our weaknesses.
I'm woke on this. I think other people are going to be woke on this. That you did know this. That you did know July 4th.
That's truly
played it off pretty well.
Yeah, interesting.
Truly a surprise.
Interesting.
Truly a surprise. No, I plan for Dominic. So to this will drop on his feast day. Interestingly, so we had a podcast quite a while back where we talked about priests and pets, and we came in a pretty hard on
I've gotten
that one.
A lot of blowback on our takes. A lot of blowback.
And one of the ones that maybe responded to all of us is Father Jared Leese, because he has a dog.
Yes.
Well, recently, he's on sabbatical right now, and he came across a statue of St. Dominic with a dog. And so he made sure to send us that image to all of us, even though he didn't realize it was St. Dominic when he sent it to us.
That's so perfect.
Yes, priests can be saints if they have pets.
Well, that's great. The other thing. St. Dominic didn't have a dog. The dog is symbol of a vision he had of a dog. So, Father Jared, you can have a vision of Serafina. But
that's so funny.
No, I'll give Serafina a pass. Shout out to Serafina.
We love Serafina.
We support her.
Not a personal attack.
It's much easier to say nice things about Serafina than Father Jared.
There you go.
Now, one of the things that makes me feel old, and there are many of those things, that list gets longer every year, but one of the things that makes me feel old, and it happened the other day, is when the seminarians use language that I don't understand. At first, years ago, I could just kind of dismiss it. Now it's actually moving to a spot of like old curmudgeonly man anger of like, why are you using that stupid word? And that doesn't mean that. So I had one guy use a phrase the other day, ooze. And I still don't fully understand what that means. I can't even remember. Like, that's the ooze? I don't know if it means something. I don't know. I really don't know. So this is where you guys are a few years closer. Youth is in the sight. I'm not going to call you young anymore, but youth is at least in sight for you guys.
If young we wear our bifocals, we can see it.
Hello, young people.
Hello, young people.
Steve Buscemi.
I love that
Hello,
30 Rock
youths.
Character. I try and figure out what the youth are. I go down to the local Five and Dime. I put my nickel in the jukebox for that new Cole Porter record to see what they're talking about. But I'm clueless, so I need your guys' help. So I've asked the guys today to teach me important slang, new slang, so that I can too still appear that I have my finger on the pulse of our youth culture. So save me from myself.
Just some qualifiers real quick here.
Yeah.
Anytime you're talking about slang, you're not cool. when you're trying to explain slang, that's a very, very clear sign that you are. So we are going to sound very uncool doing this. Also, if Gare and I are using language, it's like, I would say we're probably in this space that if we're using it, then it's maybe like at its peak of popularity about to hit the down. Like, we're not on the down slope now yet. I would say we're pretty, like, you're on the down slope if you're using,
I live on the down slope.
No longer a cool word. We're maybe, it's become pretty mainstream, but not super mainstream yet. But we are not on the front lines of.
Well, yeah, we were just talking about the other, sometimes we still have to, like, don't go to this website too often, but we go to Urban Dictionary just to like double check.
Oh, absolutely.
Can I say this in a homily? Can
I will absolutely Google things that I hear students say. I was like, hey, can I say this? Or is people going to be like, don't say that. Don't say that again, Father Gerald. And so like, you got to be careful with some of this.
What is it? Watch Netflix and chill.
I heard a priest using that
in a homily, thinking it meant
just
it's literal.
Out, like, I'm just gonna have a
yeah,
night
when
in.
And that's not what? Don't. That's not what that means.
This used to happen to Bishop Rice. Bishop Rice was the king of this. Of
oh, was he really?
Saying something in a homily like, Bishop, don't say that again.
It just happened to a speaker when we were at the Steubenville conference. And he was, their families were similar guys and girls of kids. A lady came up for just a Q&A with the speaker. And he was like, oh, that's awesome. We should link up. And the whole crowd was like, oh. And I was like, what? I didn't see anything wrong with that. I guess there's... It's more of like, that's more of like hookup or there's like a sneaky link. So I didn't know any of these things. But the kids were like, you can't say that.
Yeah, I wouldn't like, know. No, I don't
he
like
just
that.
Meant your family should spend time together. Yeah. What are you talking
about? It's hard,
about?
Man. It's hard.
That's why I only use 1920s lingo.
Oh my.
I'm on the trolley.
Oh, you jeepers creepers, man.
Yeah, so, jeepers creepers.
Yeah, that's what I use.
I will
I use
say you
one.
Sound old every time you say jeepers
I
creepers.
I use an old one. And so, okay, we can give a few of them that I hear the students saying a lot or that I say some. My favorite one is it's giving. Mm. That's the one I probably have started to use.
Giving?
But it's giving. Like most slang in my experience is just a ways of saying that something's good.
Okay.
So there's different ways of saying something's good. So most of the ones that I'll, but it's giving. So that was pretty giving. Like low key, and we'll do low, we can do low
key. Of course,
low key. Low key is another one that a lot, like something, like not high key, but low key.
It what does it giving. Mean though? Chad is still so confused.
Low key so, means it's like not a big, like it's not like a huge thing, but, or like it was surprising. Like,
but it's still good.
Like
if something's low key, is that good?
It's low key. It's still good, but it's not like over the top good or it surprised you that it was good.
Okay.
So like high key, Top Gun was the greatest movie here. I've ever seen in my life. Low key. I think Elvis is pretty good too.
So,
does that make it?
The live podcast recordings, I'm going to assume, will be low key.
They're low key and they can jump to high key.
Okay.
They
okay.
will be giving vibes, though. And that's another important. So if something is giving, like, that's pretty giving. It means it was good. And it can also, you can add something to the end of it. You can be like, it was giving vibes. Or it was serving. That's another one that you'll hear. Like, it was serving. Serving vibes, serving. Yeah. Vibes is another big one. You got to be big vibes. Yeah.
Everything has vibes. Everything has vibes.
Z on it.
No, that's not cool.
Giving and serving, I feel that sounds to me like an older person in a charismatic group trying to sound cool as they're describing. Yeah, yeah, the spirit's really big. Giving.
And, no, but you can't say it like
you
that.
Know,
like
that was pretty, the bake sale. That tone, was really serving.
Tone is that big. Was giving.
Tone is big on all.
Tone
of
is big.
Sure.
Yeah. Again, low key is one. Low key is a funny one. Giving.
What's the tone for low key?
Like surprise, like low key. That was sick.
I'm sure someone like said that, and I just assumed it was a Thor reference because that's his brother is
low key.
And I'm like, oh, we're making Marvel references. I'm on board.
My
I'm on the trolley. You're I'm not a rube.
Yeah, I don't know where that if it comes from, like on the down low, or like.
I think it probably does.
I still don't feel like I can use that phrase right. Like
well, yeah.
I stumble.
What are some other good? Bet is a real common
bet.
One. Bet is very common. That
B-E-T?
B-E-T. It means like, yeah, man. Like.
Like I would, maybe the close would be like, you betcha, but that's not cool to say, obviously.
Betcha.
And so bet is just quick. It's just like, yeah, for sure. I'll be there. Or
So it's a form of agreement. Like,
yeah,
hey, just, are you coming to the party? Bet.
Yeah.
That's how I would just, say
hey,
that.
Hey, go over there and bring me the keys from over there. All right, bet.
Youth culture is stupid.
Yes, it's not. We're not saying.
Yeah, of course it's
brilliant.
Stupid. What is
they say, or some of the kids say, say less.
Say less. They love it's, say less.
It's
say
kind
less.
Of an affirmative, too, of rather than like, I guess maybe it would be the opposite of say more would mean I need to hear more before I commit. But same thing. It's just like, all right, we're going to do this. All right, say less.
I'm in.
You're just like, yeah.
We're doing this now. Say less. I'm in. Okay. You don't need to keep talking. You don't need to keep. You had me at
I haven't
one,
heard that one.
Yeah, is what it is. Slaying. I use slaying. And I think that's a good example of one that's beyond, like it's moved beyond. It's not very not cool anymore. But you like that homily slayed. Like that drip slayed. That's another one you can talk about.
Fits. Drip?
Fits and drips are like clothing, close. Like fashion.
If you're looking pretty drippy, is like, it's looking, it's fashionable.
Sounds disgusting.
Like low key, like, that fit slayed. Like no one would ever say that because it's so uncool. Confused.
I feel like
that is like
we
an
could be
of,
talking with youth, or we could talk to a plague victim. It's very drippy over there. He's
that
slaying.
I think that like low key that fit slayed is something that no one would actually say. But if you said that, a young person would know what you meant. And my dad would not have known what any of those phrases, like had no clue what that.
This hurts my brain.
Something we gas. That means it's really good if it's gas.
It's gas.
Bussin' is one that they're using now that bussin? I don't know. That means good. It just means it's good.
Or bussin'.
Oh.
Wait, say that again.
I'm not the kids. It's like the down. Mike Breen when he says bang, bang when Steph Curry hits a three.
They'll like sing in the choir once a week or whatever, the middle school, and they'll come down. We're like, was our singing bussin' or bussin' today? I'm like, so then I just played. I was like, well, it was bussin'. I don't know what it means.
Sus is one I like. That like means that's just a short.
I hate abbreviations. I hate when people, because that was a big thing a while, but I don't know if it still is, but when the rents for the parental unit.
Sure.
I don't like rents.
I hate any abbreviation. The English language is deformed and dying and decrepit enough. We don't need to shorten it up. I hate.
Yeah.
This is where I really feel like an old man.
Yeah, yelling at me. Yeah,
why are you doing this?
My lawn.
Okay, put your walker down. Okay. I'm surprised you haven't said is spill the tea.
I have spill the tea written down. I love spill the tea.
I've heard that one and it slightly annoys me.
That was a great one. Like, what's the tea? Like, give some tea.
Yeah.
Why do you not like that one?
I don't know. I don't drink tea. It is.
That's why we're spilling it.
I think Conan O'Brien had a whole riff on. He prefers to say we're brewing and steeping the tea, and slowly we will warm it up. And that's going to be my approach. Like every time I sense someone shortening something, I'm going to lengthen it out. I'm gonna add to it.
It's these were good.
The one I've noticed is my kids call everybody bro, guys, girls. They'll call me bro, and I say that's father bro to you.
Yeah, that's right.
They just, I don't think we would have said that. Like, we maybe would have called each other bro, but I would never have called a girl bro.
Bro.
Yeah, that's weird. So you guys don't know ooze.
I still don't know ooze.
Other than like, I don't know what
the. So I'm a nose ahead of you on the fact that I know it exists. I don't know what it means.
But I've not.
I couldn't use it in proper context.
Did the seminarians use it?
Yeah, one
of
the seminarians.
That's not a sign of like the coolest, hippest slang, just to be
fair. So it was Sam, and he said they were using it at camp. So kids were using it out at camp. So
those kids know more than those TikTok generation
TikTok
kids.
Yeah, TikTok just changes every day.
Yeah, there's another video that goes viral, and then there's a
saying.
A saying, and then it's not cool in 3 weeks.
I can count on one hand the number of TikTok videos I've seen in my life, and all of them star Father Kyle Dugan, and I was forced to watch them while I was getting my hair cut. The kids, the person that was cutting my hair was like, you've got their C's parishioners. So you got to see Father
TikTok
Kyle's
TikTok.
Yeah. And so those are the only TikTok videos I have ever seen is Father Kyle Dugan. I don't know if he still does that or not. If that's
probably all you need.
Yeah, you're probably good.
I'm done. I am done. Yeah.
Yeah, say less.
Say less.
Bet.
Do people use finna anymore?
I don't think
finna was one that was just a few years ago.
We're going to like.
Yeah, we're going to like.
We finna hoop. All means right. We're going to go finna play hoop. Basketball.
Bet.
Low key is. Yeah, it's good, but kind of calm. It's got a calm vibe. If it were getting that vibe,
I don't
and someone
know that
were
that's,
to,
you're not using it right. Like,
but at a calm
I
vibe.
You have to hear somebody say it.
Someone might ask me to join. I'd say, bet, say less, my friend.
I think LeBron had a tweet maybe that was, he said low key, high key. And it was very confusing. It was very confusing. Like, is this low key? Is it high key? Is it different? Yeah. So,
well, okay. Well, at least I'm literate. I'm really not going to attempt to do any of these because I feel like I would only out myself of being super uncool. I will stick to The nice thing about retro culture is I know a lot of old stuff, and that's cool again. So yeah, like I can talk vinyl, and I can talk like classic soul music, and I can talk those things, and that's my way in any more than phraseology, because people don't use terms like phraseology anymore. Jeez,
man. Super long word. We can't say all that. So many syllables.
Say less.
I am going to have to re-listen to this. Like, I'm going to have to use this like a study sheet. I'll re-listen to the podcast multiple times because even now I'm struggling to remember. My plan was to use these phrases throughout the podcast. I don't think I can.
But again, Joel, because we're not like, we're just listening to kids say things that may not be cool in a month here, or they may not even be cool now.
So by the time I master it, this is already going to be out of sync.
You kind of sound like Peter right now trying to speak Spanish. You're kind of saying some of the stuff,
Sweet prince will be done with Spanish by the time. We need to have Peter on here to try to just speak Spanish. He's going to come on Kanza Catholic and try to teach us some Spanish.
My favorite story of Peter and Spanish. Peter Bergkamp, seminarian, lived with Father Drew for this last semester in a pastoral semester with Father Drew. Peter comes from Garden Plain area.
Real quick, his address is Cheney. And his we need to start normalizing that the Bergkamps are Cheney people, not Garden Plain people. But go on.
So very country. Yes. Very country. And so Peter's in Spanish immersion programs, has not had a lot of background in learning Spanish. All the guys take it. And Father Drew had like a bet going, if you don't know Spanish, a common misuse, people will use the word embarazado, wanting to say they're embarrassed because they make a mistake, but embarazado means pregnant in Spanish. Father Drew had a bet, like, how quickly would Peter misuse embarazado? Because we know it's going to happen. How quickly? You had like...
I preached about it. I would be later in the week or the second week, or so he's just going to get flustered one day. And
Day one. He doesn't make it 24 hours before he tries to tell the teacher he's embarrassed and accidentally tells her he's pregnant, which just sums up Peter's whole experience of Spanish. Day one.
Our golden retriever himself.
Well, moving on to the main topic, as helpful as this is, I feel like there are still other more helpful things we can do with the podcast today. And so that's to answer one of the questions a listener sent to us. We've each talked about our vocation story a bit. And sometimes, we were talking about this even before we started recording a little bit, sometimes I worry that maybe we are a little hard on our reflections of our college years, that maybe we're not giving the best full picture of it. It was a difficult time for some of us. I didn't enjoy it, but there were also good moments. And I don't maybe talk about those as much as I should. There were joyful moments. There were great moments. The Lord was working through it. I think seminary today, I would also put the caveat, I think seminary today is a better place than it was when I was in there. I tell the guys, maybe this is just the musings of an old, uncool, unslang man.
Don't say unslang again.
But I look at the guys in the house and I'm like, you guys are a lot happier than I was in college seminary. And I think that's a statement of where seminary has come. So I do think it's a better place. And in fairness, seminary was probably even a better place than all maybe we recall. That being said, it was hard. That being said, it was difficult. I thought about leaving multiple, many times, as I think you guys had that experience. So one of our listeners asked the question, why did you stick it out? How did we know to stay in when times got hard? So it's early August, guys that are going to seminary, they're returning to seminary here in a couple weeks, new guys that are stepping into seminary who might be listening to this. Why did we stick it? How did we know to stay in when times got hard?
To preface, I tell people this all the time. The reason I speak so often about how much I don't like seminary or didn't like seminary, and it's a dramatization to a certain extent, is that I do wish more guys had said that to me when I was in seminary. Like, I wish I had heard that actually more and almost normalized the experience of it being hard, and that it doesn't mean that doesn't, just because it's hard doesn't mean, like I always compared it when I was in seminary to the med student, because we had friends that were in med school and law school and things like that who were having really, really hard times. And that did, if they had wanted to leave there, I would have said, what? And yet my life was, I was applying a different kind of rule of thumb to it.
I think that's a really good point, because I think seminary, I did not expect, I'd love priesthood as much as I do. I had a lower bar expectation than the reality, and I thought I'd enjoy seminary more than I did. Like I said, it wasn't normalized, and so it was jarring. And part of the reason I think I talk about it is because the such a huge dichotomy of how much I love priesthood more than I thought I was and how harder seminary was than I expected it to be. So I think that's a great point.
And I was on a retreat at Conception a few weeks ago, and we talked a little bit about this, but I had so many good memories that bubbled to the surface that were like real legitimate good memories that either have gotten clouded over or I hadn't talked about because I probably too much focus on the difficulties with my excuses because I want that to be clear to guys. It's like, that doesn't mean you're supposed to leave. You can do this. I promise it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the med school or those things are good analogies too, and maybe even more so. I don't know. Seminary is temporary, and the whole point of it is to be temporary, and it's, for the most part, is not a lot like priesthood. And so,
That's true.
You don't like the life at seminary, that might be a good sign you would love the life at priesthood.
It's true.
Obviously not just a universal rule there, but it's not a very similar experience in the day-to-day. So
yeah, I remember having to remind myself, I'm not called to be a seminarian for life. I'm doing this to be called a priest, because you're right, they're pretty dissimilar.
Yeah,
seminary gives you the tools and everything you need so you can live the priesthood well, but the actual life and the day-to-day, far different.
So if you get to why I stuck it out, some of the things that come to my heart and my mind whenever I thought about leaving, and we all thought about leaving at one point or another, none of the reasons I really thought about leaving involved, I didn't think I was supposed to be a priest.
Mm.
And as simple as that sounds, that was a bit, if I really got down and parsed through it, and that's where the silence of prayer is so vital. When I really parsed through it, they were temporary things. They were not believing priesthood was going to be great enough, like not having that knowledge of how awesome priesthood was going to be. And they were kind of just stuff I was going through right now, but never was there the voice in my heart loud, you're not supposed to be a priest. It was almost as if when I thought about leaving, if I'm honest with myself, I would have come back later on after I got to go do some college things or got to go work in the, like that door always would be open. I never, when I thought about leaving, was slamming the door on priesthood. And that always spoke to me. It's like, if I'm not slamming the door on, then what am I doing? Yep. What actually am I thinking about? I'm strong enough and tough enough through the grace of the Lord to deal with this temporary stuff. So why would I leave if I still think I might be called to be a priest?
I think that's a great point too, because even just hearing you say that, I realize in my own experience, there was a lot of that thought of when I was thinking about leaving, there was also in the back of my mind, I'll come back. There's other things I want to do, or I just want to get away from this. And then I'd have to call in well, what are you doing? You're running away from something unpleasant. If you're going to come back and the Lord is calling you to be a priest, then he's calling you right now. He's not asking you to step out. And I had to have spiritual directors help me to see that. But you're absolutely right, Drew. That was definitely in the back of my head. I think most times when I was thinking about leaving as well, I'll be back. But that's not how that's supposed to work.
Yeah. For me, it came to that, the question of similar to what everything you guys are saying, but what would I do then if I left? And not to say, because there's an element of trust there, just as there is in entering. Like if a guy is called to leave, he's not going to have your life all figured out and you're going to marry this person and you're going to work this job. But I always almost had to laugh at myself of like, there's nothing. Once I asked myself that, I'm like, there's nothing actually I want to do as much as be a priest. Nothing else would really make sense in my life. I don't want to go, you know, I was studying engineering and I liked that and it seemed like I could be good at that. But like, I don't want to do that the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I do want to be a priest, you know, just to ask myself that showed me I do want to be a priest for the rest of my life. So
that's a question I throw at the guys a lot when they're in seminary that are struggling. Like, examine yourself. Are you running to something or are you running away from something? Because those are two very different things. And I was similar. I was never running to something. When I thought about leaving, it was running away from, and it wasn't like terrible things. It was just I didn't like it. I could find more fun elsewhere.
And I think that you mentioned spiritual directors. That was a big part in my journey as well, of having people I was talking to and being honest with and that were being honest with me to help part. Like, I wasn't doing this on my own.
Yeah.
It was, hey, these are the things going on. Chill out. You're fine. Yep. Like, you're fine. And that's why when I remember asking Father Ben Sawyer right before I joined, what was his advice to me for a seminary? He said, be honest with your spiritual director.
Yep.
And that I found to be really helpful advice, because they could maybe see things I wasn't noticing or help me walk through some of these, like, okay, these are the things you're mentioning. None of those have anything to do with the priesthood. Mm-hmm. They have to do with you being 21 years old on a Benedictine monastery. That's going to be so different in a couple of years.
Well, and that's always a frustration to me as vocation directors, occasionally when a guy discerns out, is that it comes out of the blue. They've been struggling with this, but they haven't either shared it with me, the vocation director, even their formation advisor, and just, oh, Father, I'm leaving. Why am I just hearing this now? And I think maybe part of it is they feel like, as vocation director, I'm going to try and talk them into staying or whatever, which is not my goal. But just like you said, Drew, the fact is you're not in this alone, and the church is trying to give you instruments that you don't have to do this by yourself. And one of those is your vocation director or formation advisor. And just like my experience, as I talked my vocation story, Father Samuel Russell saw things in me that I didn't see. And he was right. It wasn't that he was trying to talk me in to staying because the church needs another priest or, you know, your diocese needs. No, he saw things in there and wanting my good, wanted me to see these things. And so I'm glad that I had those conversations with him because he saved me a lot of heartache I may have caused for myself. And so if you are in seminary or seminarian and you're thinking, well, maybe I'm going to leave, don't be afraid to talk to your formation advisor, your vocation director about it, or obviously your spiritual director. Most guys are at least doing that. Not all of them, but most of them are at least doing that. But these other people as well, because they see different parts of you. They're not going to try and twist your arm. They just want to help you to see a fuller picture so that you can make the best decision in God's will.
And same with your brother seminarians, to be open and talking with them. I mean, I remember a guy who eventually discerned out and is now married, but at the time, he was entering into theology, and I didn't think much of it. I was kind of talking about, where are you at with your discernment? And he was open and honest. Was like, I'm really pretty on the fence right now. But that gave me a different perspective with him going into our relationship as he entered into theology. And then, yeah, it was much easier and a much healthier, and he could leave much more confidently and enter into his true vocation rather than this was hidden and I was unhappy. And so I decided to leave. And then that's a really unsturdy foundation for a true discernment. So if you're going to be a priest or not, you want to be open with vocation director, with spiritual director, formators, your brother seminarians.
Mm-hmm. A top five story that I tell, and maybe I've told it here before, is the Therese of Lisieux story about the night before she was going to maybe make her final vows. I don't exactly remember. She has this freak out basically at Compline. I'm not holy enough to be a nun. If anybody knew who I really was, they would laugh at me. I'm not cut out for this. I need to leave and I need to not tell anyone. I need to sneak out as soon as Compline is over and not ever come back. And she has an inspiration to tell her novice master that. And the novice master basically does laugh at her and says, Therese, go to bed.
Go to bed.
And by saying it out loud, Therese could hear the absurdity of what she was thinking and what the evil one, the last, and that's one of Ignatius's rules is, bring it to the light, bring it to the light, bring it to the light, because the evil one thrives in darkness and is, and cowers in light. And so that was a key. And things I didn't always do well. I didn't always do well with brother seminarians or with even probably vocation director, spiritual director. You're right, spiritual director was never really an issue there. But bringing it to the light is a key to sticking it out. Or if you're not supposed to stick it out, confidently not sticking it out. And confidently, and then you're
able to...
If this
is the Lord's will, you don't have to hide it.
Yes, you're able to say to all of the brother priests or whatever the case might be, yeah, this is good. Good discernment here.
Yeah.
No one is just like looking at the poster and being like, oh, we lost another one. If we're confident in that discernment. If it comes out of the blue, if it's like, wait, what? That's where frustrations start to develop amongst guys and amongst the person who does it deep down somewhere.
I know a thing that was a big help to me in sticking in too, and I think it was probably similar for you guys, but summer work. Meaningful ministerial, and it's one of those things I wish I would have done more of sooner. When I first started in seminary, I had a good job just doing landscaping and maintenance at the Spiritual Life Center, which is a great place, and so I worked in that a couple more years. Then it would have probably been more helpful to me if I would have done Totus Tuus earlier, or if prayer and action existed at that time, because those experiences where you're sharing the faith and where you're working in that were nurturing and carried me through the school year, because I could remember, like, yeah, I don't like seminary or school, but I do like ministry. Mm-hmm. I do like doing that, which in some ways may be a little more similar to priesthood than the actual academic life. So meaningful ministerial summer work was a huge help for me staying in.
Spanish summer and Lord's Diner were game changers in my vocation.
Oh, yeah.
Sermon. Game changers in it. Because just that, I was with people like, this is why I'm learning Spanish, for these people.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord's Diner, I'm serving, I'm on the front lines, I'm working with a team. My schedule's more flexible than it was in the seminary. I'm still giving on myself, I'm still praying. Huge game. And living in rectory, lived at St. Pat's and then at Blessed Sacrament. Huge, huge.
Yeah, it just actually is more like priestly life. And so you get all those experiences. And for me, like spiritual fatherhood, a small taste of that in things like prayer and action and totus tuus. And even when I was at the hospital, that then you, just chew on that for 6 months or when you go to seminary. And that's what you're really praying with, and not, do I like getting up and going to philosophy class every day?
Right, well, right.
I'm not go to class, but I'm not as concerned if you love that as if you're drawn to all those things from the summer. So,
well, and they were also for me both. It was the ministerial aspect, and it was also points of connection to the diocese, because it doesn't matter how long you're at the seminary; it's never going to be home. And so, to know the diocese and know people in the diocese, like, I knew people in the Totus Tuus program. I knew people in this parish, and these are the people I'm going to go home and work with and serve one day. That was important for me. One of the seminaries we send to, they have a summer program that they want all of the guys to go to. I want our guys building those points of connection here at home, because that seminary is never going to be their home.
Agreed.
And they need this community. They need these people, because I know in my time in seminary, as good as the seminary community was for nurturing and helping me grow, it wasn't what was bringing me to the priesthood. It was what was at home and the work that I was doing there and the people that I knew there. That was bringing me to the priesthood. The seminary community was only hopefully nurturing it. And so that summer work, the ministerial aspect, but also those points of connection, knowing people back at home and learning about what goes on there.
So that's something good for, I mean, if you're not a person that's in seminary, but want to support them, especially you recognize there are these difficult moments, to establish those contacts and relationships in some ways, even little things. Like I remember being at seminary and sometimes, you have a tough day or it's in the back of your mind to leave in. And then you get the stack of letters from the second grade class from wherever, or you get the card from some parish that said they prayed 10 holy hours for you in Eucharistic adoration. And that maybe you don't even know those people, but that's that connection to what, where you're actually going to be real people you might actually serve, that gets you out of this fake imagined idea of everything you hate right now.
I have a really vivid memory of having a brutal day at conception and opening my mail and there's a pin from the Sarah Club that's part of it. And it's just kind of the things they throw in. Mm-hmm. But it said, Wichita Sarah Club, we are praying for you. And I have this like vivid memory of that meaning the world to me on that day. And just like you're saying, people send you banana bread or letters or things like that. Like, you might leave, you might be called to leave, but not nearly as many people are going to care about you if you leave than if you're there. Like, you are so cared for and loved as a seminarian. And that's not the reason to become a priest by any stretch of the imagination. It isn't. But this woe is me attitude. So again, if you can set somebody asked me about Peter. Someone's asked me, hey, what can we do for Peter? And I said, send him something every once in a while. Send him a little $10 gift card every once in a while. Send him a banana bread. There was somebody in my life that sent me banana bread quite a bit. Because you're just reminded how loved you are, man. And you might be called to be a priest, but you might not. But you are really cared for as a seminarian. It helps break you out of a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, and I would, any seminarians that are listening to this, you got the grade school classrooms that write you, and make sure you write them back. Mm-hmm. But also, when you're home for break, I know you got a lot of things going on. Go visit the classroom. It's so big for the kids, but it will be big for you too, because it realize this is a reality. So send them a card back, but Christmas break, summer break, go and visit the classroom. If it's a 15-minute, hey, I'm the one you've been writing to, do it. It will be good for everyone involved.
Couldn't agree more.
I think too, for me, a reality, why did I stay in? There's a piece of I've got to own is just a little bit of a mystery. You know, I didn't always have like concrete idea. Okay, well, no, column A, column B. It just didn't feel right. And I couldn't quite say why. I don't know always why I stayed in. There was a little bit, I can see it now. It's the Lord pulling, it's grace. But in the moment, why are you staying in? I'm not sure if I could have always answered that. There was a little bit of an aspect of a mystery, and you have to be comfortable with that reality too, I think.
I didn't have any money when I was at KU. And so as a seminary, I was never like going broke, but I just didn't have that much money. And so I had this excuse of like, I'll leave, make money for a while, and then I can rejoin. So at least I'll have some funds, as if I didn't have like a family and close friend. Like, I was, no, what am I talking about? But I got a pretty substantial gift, like out of nowhere, the day that I had made that plan. It was just, and the Lord does stuff like that all the time. It's like, what is wrong with you? Okay, are you going to keep being a baby? We'll keep getting you through this, but come on, man. And we got there.
And the Lord is good, and He will continue to be good in the moment, even if we are struggling, whatever it is, whether that's through connections at home, through moments of prayer, through the wisdom of a spiritual director or a formation advisor. If the Lord is calling you and you are praying and staying close to Him, even when it's difficult, He's going to nudge you along where you need to be. He's going to help you along there.
Be open. Don't say less. Say more.
Some students.
Bet.
Some students I texted about the podcast yesterday just to get make sure I was on the same page. Literally just texted me, let us know how the podcast goes, Father Drew, this group text. How did the podcast, how would you say it went, Father John?
I'd say it's low key.
No, it was high
key.
High key giving.
Giving. That's what I forgot. It was serving. The podcast was serving my the young tone friends.
I don't like that at all. Oh my gosh.
Nailed it as always. No more will I be unslang. I will be hip and with it. And every speech I give will be giving to the masses and serving the young peoples. And they will hear me preach the gospel and they will say, Father, we bet with you.
This is so brutal. Oh my gosh. That's what we sound like.
Yes. Yes. This is what you sound like. Well, thanks for listening to About 4 O'Clock. If you have questions you'd like us to address, you can email us at wichitavocations@gmail.com. You can also visit us at our website, about4.org. Father Drew has the final word today.
This is from Graham Greene, who's one of my favorite authors, when asked about the priesthood. And he wasn't always the best practicing Catholic, but he had this notion of the priesthood that I always appreciated. I think that for many people, especially the young, the priesthood must have the attraction of a crack unit. It's an organization which has to train for combat, one which demands self-sacrifice. I'm convinced that the drop in vocations has to do with the fact that we don't put across clearly enough the attraction to be found in a difficult and dangerous calling.
See you next week.